The Cognizant Founders Cup takes place in the New York metropolitan area October 4th through the 10th at the beautiful Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey. And Scott Wood is the tournament director, and he joins me now. Welcome to Talking Golf, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
It's great to have you on the show, and very excited about this Founders Cup. It has come to the New York metropolitan area. How exciting.
It is. It's, you know, having played in Arizona for the last 10 years, and, you know, this is a new era for the Founders Cup, and we are transferring it from the desert. We're going to start playing in the New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, New York metropolitan area. And you're right. I mean, Mountain Ridge is a world-class golf course. It's a hidden gem, really. That term gets used a lot when I talk to others in the area. But it's going to be a test for our players. I can guarantee you that. Donald Ross, the greens are just they're undulating, and they're going to be a test for our players. And we're excited to bring the tour to this area.
I love that golf course. I had the opportunity to play Mountain Ridge couple months ago, and I played with the club president, Bob Brenner, and mm-hmm. I met some wonderful board members over there, John Kessler and Dick Aborn, and they were so hospitable. But you talk about its reputation. Mountain Ridge has hosted 4 New Jersey PGA Championships, 3 Met Opens. They hosted the New Jersey SGA, the MGA Amateur Championships, the Ike, the New Jersey PGA Championship back in 2017. I mean, I can go on and on and on. As you say, a very highly regarded golf course. And I love Donald Ross designs. He designed it back in 1929. And you have this clubhouse, which is sitting beautifully up on a plateau overlooking the golf course. And both holes 9 and 18 rise dramatically back up to the clubhouse. So very challenging contours on the fairways and on the greens. I think it's going to be a tough mm-hmm. test.
It certainly will be, and I think you know, when we started looking at golf courses in the Northeast, when we pulled into Mountain Ridge and we saw that clubhouse, it was just the first, you know, we fell in love as soon as we pulled on the property, and then we got on the other side of the clubhouse and we looked down through kind of that little valley there, and we saw the golf course, and we saw how 9 and 18 come up back towards the clubhouse, and it really is, it fit every box. It checked every box that we wanted. And really, you know, we started right then talking about how can we bring the LPGA Tour to Mountain Ridge and the West Caldwell community. And, I'll tell you this right now, Bob and James Messina, their GM, they rolled out the red carpet from day one. And there has been so much excitement and so much enthusiasm from not only their group, but the membership that we see. And we've talked to the community officials that we've been working with to make sure that we have everything buttoned up when we come to town, you know, October 4th through the 10th. So it's going to be just a special event for us. It's one of our marquee events outside of our Solheim Cup that really just it's a way for us to celebrate and honor, you know, the 71 years of the LPGA Tour.
I want to get to the Solheim Cup in a second, but talk about the history of the Founders Cup, because here it's such an appropriate tribute to the 13 women who are founders of the LPGA, who wanted to play professional golf, and they founded the LPGA back in 1950, and boy, they were 13 courageous women, right, to kind of get through all those obstacles and barriers that they faced, and their dreams and visions prevailed, but it wasn't easy, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I am amazed. Now, I've been playing golf for almost 40 years now, and I knew about the LPGA. I knew the likes of Nancy Lopez and Betsy King. You know, and just all of those ladies that you know, were playing when I was growing up in golf. But when I started to meet some of the founders and I started to hear the stories about how they would caravan from city to city, you know, Marilyn Smith, who just recently passed, but she was kind of the mother of the group. And she told me, she said, you know, we were a traveling sisterhood. She said, we were determined to get this thing off the ground because we just love to play the game that much. And this was, these are all these stories were out there, and all the they were just being they just weren't being brought to the forefront. And when you sit down and you speak with Shirley Spork, who's still one of our two surviving founders, the stories and the just how incredible it was for them to be able to bring this tour to life and to be able to keep it going through the '60s and the '70s and the '80s, and you know, then it kind of just really took off from there. It's you know, the dedication and the tenacity of those women. I'm amazed, and I just sit back and listen to Shirley tell stories, and I just soak it all in, because it truly is a history for golf that is just amazing. And I don't know if I truly understood what I was tasked with when I started this job almost 6.5 years ago, but I feel a sense of ownership and pride right now that I can go out and tell this story. And talk about the founders and talk about these ladies that just, you know, they fought through a lot to be able to make sure that women's golf was going to be on the map and to be able to take off and be able to provide generation after generation of female golfers an opportunity to not only play a game that I think they all love and that we all love, but they can actually go out and make a living at it.
That's right. And Shirley Spork, you said, will be at this year's Founders Cup, right? What is she, a young 90-something?
I think she proudly says that she's 94 these days, so I can say it. So, you know, typically you don't talk about a woman's age. But, she's going to be bouncing around. She's going to be – we have this special area on 18. It's called the Founders Perch. And so when we're live on Golf Channel – you'll see Shirley sitting right by 18 green, watching the action come up the golf course. It's typically the last 3 hours of golf, you know, of the coverage. And so it's a way for today's players as they come up 18 to be able to look over and go, man, that lady right there is the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Why I'm wearing these corporate logos, why I'm making a great living out here. It's because of what Shirley and the other 12 did. So it's, if you get a chance, you know, obviously, grab your tickets, come out, and if you get a chance to see and say hello to Shirley Spork, we have a special golf cart for her. You're gonna know who she is when she kind of, you know, makes her way around the golf course. Please say hello, because she loves to meet people and she loves to tell you about the LPGA.
I can't wait. I'd love to interview her during the Founders Cup. That would be great. My goodness, what
Absolutely.
A story! And do you remember anything she told you as far as, you know, what it was like when they founded the LPGA?
Yeah, she, you know, they always just talk about it. They, you know, she always said, listen, we didn't really have much, right? And so when they would go from city to city, they would do their own marketing. They would do their own course setup. They would do their own rules. And they didn't have the team that we have now. I mean, we're coming in, you know, we have, you know, at least 75 people that help us run this golf tournament, you know, and then we have 500 to 600 volunteers out there that are helping us do that. They didn't have any of that back in the day. They just had a passion for golf, and they knew they were onto something, and people started to take note. And, you know, she just says that, you know, wherever they went and whoever they could find and tell their story to, they told them, and they invited them out to the golf tournament. And she said, and from there, you know, it was just they got to be able to play golf in front of a few hundred people, and you know, they were just living their dreams. And I think that's what, you know, really we all want to do these days is have a dream and see it through.
Right, that passion. They just wanted tournaments to play in, right? And then they right. all got together and established the LPGA Teaching Division, which today is known mm-hmm. as the LPGA Professionals Membership. And that's so important. And to look at the LPGA to see where it's come from mm-hmm. those days in the 50s when these 13 LPGA founders organized the LPGA, it's just phenomenal how far it's come. Now, can it continue to grow? Absolutely. But really, I would say in the past, say, 7-10 years, the LPGA has really, really come a long way.
It has. And it's, I'm happy to be a part of it. It's a great team that we have. It's a team environment. We're trying to do our part, right, to leave the game better than we found it. And, you know, and when you talk about all those divisions, not everyone that plays golf gets to play professional golf, right? So the teaching and club professionals, they're out there grinding it 7 days a week at your local golf club. And, you know, given lessons and trying to make sure that they're preserving their part of the game. You know, another big piece of it that the Founders Cup really is a big part of is the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. And that's our main benefactor for tournament proceeds. And that's our way to be able to make sure that the next generation is secured. There's funding for those programs, you know, around the country, and it's actually grown into an international program now. So there's nearly 100,000 young girls ages 7 to 17 in this girls' golf program, and we're getting close to 550 sites around the world now. So the game has never been stronger, and the LPGA Tour has never been stronger, and it's, you know, we're just so happy that the fans and the golf community just continue to see that and keep supporting us, because that's truly what we need.
And I think it's so important, Scott, for the current players, especially the real young pros, to understand what it was like back in the 50s when these 13 LPGA founders organized the LPGA. Now, I know in tennis, they just inducted the founding, you know, members of the WTA into the Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island, the Tennis Hall of Fame. And I think that's so important, because a lot of young people, not just golfers or tennis players, but a lot of young athletes aren't aware of the history and how difficult it was years ago and how few opportunities there were for women in sports years ago. I think it's just so important for the current day athletes to understand that, don't you?
I do wholeheartedly. And you know, that's one thing that the Founders Cup is, that's one thing that we try to do, is we try to tell that story. We try to make sure that, you know, those young, you know, let's say late teen, early 20 players that are just coming on tour, I mean, they've only seen the digital age, and they've only seen where the money keeps growing. I mean, we're almost playing for $100 million in purse these days, you know, and when you look back at 1950, there was 14 tournaments and they were playing for a total purse of $50,000. So it's just our way to be able to preserve this story and this history through this golf tournament, and to be able to tell that story. And you know, we do our part during tournament week to make sure that all the players understand, and for us to be able to try to get Shirley in front of them. And if Marlene's traveling, then, you know, if she's in front of them, and to be able to preserve that message, you know, and also too, it's been, we've kind of handed the baton a little bit to the likes of Nancy Lopez and some of the other pioneers that, you know, once those original 13 were starting to phase out a little bit, there was a new generation of ladies that were going to take that baton and run with it. So we're honoring Nancy Lopez and two other players that were very key to the growth of the LPGA back in the 1970s. And we call them our pioneers, right? So they took it and they run with it, and they're preserving the history as well. So I think, you know, for the fans that come out that might not know our story fully, there will be opportunities around the golf course for you to be able to, you know, see photos of some of our, you know, of our founders, and be able to see a timeline of 70 years and start to see how it's progressed, you know, and some of the stars that have made it what it is today, like Annika Sorenstam and, you know, Lydia Ko back in the 2010. So it's just a great platform for us to be able to tell our story.
It certainly is. And I treasure the TV interview I did years ago with Patty Berg. And when people ask me, who's the one athlete you know, would have loved to have interviewed, I would have loved to have sat down with Babe Zaharias. That just would have been unbelievable, you know. And for my sports interview show, I sat down with you know, Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and Sam Snead and Don Budge and Billie Jean and Patty Berg. But gosh, it would have been great to connect with Babe Zaharias. And, you know, Nancy Lopez has been on my TV and radio shows. And Jan Stevenson was just on a couple weeks ago. Annika has been on both the TV and radio shows. So I try to bring, you know, a lot of these trailblazers on the show so that men and women can really learn and appreciate, you know, what they did for their sport. So I'm just so pleased to have you on to talk about the Founders Cup. Now, you're actually in Toledo at the Inverness Club for the Solheim Cup, and you're a part of the LPGA team that oversees the Solheim Cup. What has your week been like so far? It must be so exciting.
It is, and it's been jam packed. I tell you, Solheim Cup is our, you know, it's our marquee event. It's the Ryder Cup for the women, you know, but it's really just been, we've had just all these festivities and just really, you know, everything's been leading up to this moment, right? And when we play on Monday for the singles finals, it's going to be just an incredible atmosphere. You know, Inverness is a true gem as well. It's another Donald Ross design, and it sets up very well for this kind of event. So it's been a fun, you know, I'll say tiring week, but this is what we do and this is what we love. So it's, there's nothing like the Solheim Cup.